Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Mutt, Ken, and Curtis on Sports Radio WEEI.
I want Jerry Callahan.
She wants Jerry Callahan. Microphone.
There you She's go. Only human here. Right here. Yeah, there. Hold it right there. Yeah, there you go.
And we found
a Valentine one and a birthday one for your American Girl doll.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the mini one.
So when you baby. Were you in the room with Justin? Were you guys hanging in the room?
Yeah. They came to New York.
They came to New York just to see you.
Yeah.
Wow. And you guys left the hotel together, right? Your dad was saying.
No.
Lots of crazy teenage girls chasing Justin around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Right? Yeah. It was so silly.
You know what? They were so jealous of you. All those girls, they wished they could spend some time with Justin.
They thought they were silly.
Maybe that was why.
Did you get an autograph?
Yeah, right on her hand.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Her shirt.
Oh, where is it? He signed your... Signed your hand.
Justin Bieber.
And it says Av there and JB there.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we could play clips of Jerry and some of the great people he's touched, the lives they've touched with the Jimmy Fund and the Radio Telethon for the next 2 hours if you wanted to. It is Mutt, Ken, and Chris. We're celebrating Jerry Callahan's career. He did his last show on WEEI on Friday. And I know, Chris, I think it's important to talk about Jerry and the impact he had on the Jimmy Fund, not only the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, but the other events that he either people knew about or didn't know about, the generosity with his time, and people saw and heard his work with the Jimmy Fund. That's where certainly it started, but it did not end there for Jerry and his endeavors with charitable groups here in Boston.
Well, I think the Avalana thing always struck me. Before I worked here, the picture outside of our office forever has been Jerry and John with Avalana and her parents.
I believe
it's Cameron and Eileen. I believe that are her parents' names. And what Jerry, I think, really connected with Avalana because she was this fearless, smart, wise little girl who had been afflicted by this awful disease, ATRT, and, had been dealt the worst hand possible and yet was painting Jerry's nails and all of these different things. And the interviews were just always so just gripping to hear them. And following this, it's sort of everything that defines Jerry the great guy when people ask, what's he like off the air? Well, Jerry off the air is everything you get on the air, but it's even more. There are no hollow words with Jerry Callahan. If he says it, he means it. And I go back to Ken and I were at, we went to one Christmas party at the Callahan residence in Andover.
It was the last one, though, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Or did we not get invited back?
I don't know. But
none of us got invited to the bar crawl this year, correct?
No, he had the trolley tour.
No, he sent me two invites. He said, come on, start drinking again. No. So we went on Christmas of 2016, I believe. We were at the Christmas party with Jerry's.
The grilled cheesemaker.
Jerry's beautiful wife, Tracy, had organized. And we're there, and we're hanging out. And who else is at the Christmas party but Avalana's parents? And I spoke with them both. They're great people for about 15, 20 minutes. And it just shows, you have Jerry meet this girl who's got this horrible disease, who is just a remarkable woman, or a little girl, but she acted like a woman. And he connects with her. They talk about her during the radio telethon. They have her in studio a couple times. She gets to meet Justin Bieber, all these different things before, unfortunately, she passed away. And it doesn't end there with Jerry. It keeps going, and he's still connected to this family, still doing fundraising efforts for curing ATRT and different things by continuing to grow, because the relationship doesn't just end, because he wants things to change. He wants to see resolution. Jerry runs bikes in the Pan Mass Challenge every year because he's friends with Lisa Sherber, who is an angel who does amazing things at the Jimmy Fund, but that's real. They truly are friends off the air, and he bikes for the Reindeer Fund, which is the Christmas party every year that they throw for these families and the patients from the Jimmy Fund. So it's just everything about Jerry Callahan is authentically real, whether you like it or don't. He is who he is. He doesn't apologize for it. And he lives by the words he speaks.
I just would think you could just say he's a generous guy. I think when I started with the show, for some reason there was this reputation, or I felt like he had a reputation of being tight with his money. He didn't want to spend on big expenditures. He told us last week he'd spent on a scooter $1,500, so that's out the window. But he couldn't be more generous. I mean, generous with us when bonus time came around. Yep. Gave me shoes, old shoes. Granted, they were used, but just making a joke. But in terms of the time, the generous commitment that he made with his time to people that were less fortunate, you could see that. It was unbelievable. Not to mention flying to Pittsburgh when my father died. He gave two great eulogies for Kirk's parents here on the show.
Yeah.
I think that came off the listeners on the air. That's the generous Jerry Callahan, not from money, but just in terms of caring and the way he was, authentic.
And one thing, too, it didn't get discussed a lot, but Jerry and his father were incredibly, incredibly close. And when Jerry's dad was sick, you know, every day, like Kirk, was at his bedside, taking care of him, helping out. And that was just, he genuinely lives by what he speaks. And I don't think we can say that enough with the way he cared for his father when he was ill, the way he spoke of and was there for Kirk when he was dealing with the passing of his parents.
Yep.
And his Jerry's mom recently as well. It's just it's tough to overstate the authentic kindness of Jerry Callahan, which seems like an oxymoron when you listen to Jerry Callahan and, you know, hear him go off about different things. There is a soul there that is real.
Well, it's real, and it's a thoughtfulness there. And that came across on the air as a listener, but, you know, off the air, whether it was, you mentioned Avalon Ruth, Miles Goldberg, who had that famous trip with Bobby Orr. He was on the plane, was part of the group of the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah, I held
down
up that plane because I was late arriving.
You were, and that was a famous Dino story as well.
Yep.
And so that, I remember they did a baseball dinner in New Hampshire, and Miles' mom, Jennifer, you know, pointed out how great the group had been to her son, and Miles eventually regretfully passed away after a long, long battle with cancer where he lost part of his leg, and it was a bad scene, and there was Jerry and that the show there for him. And something as small, you said shoes, like he was moving from North Andover, and the guy's like, he knows I have a son who's about is in youth sports, and he's brings me all this youth sports stuff, not because he wants to. Like, he could easily just put it out and someone had taken it away for him easily as they got the people clearing his house, but he knew that my son was in sports. He didn't want to see it go to waste. That was part of the money thing. Jerry hates when you waste money. Hates,
yeah,
horse races, is wasting money. I would say a scooter for $1,500 is wasting money, Jerry.
No,
sorry,
way.
That's a
good
waste of money. But he hated things, to see things go to waste, and it's great. I think it's great stuff. My son's too old for it. Carter will love it. And it's a whole bucket of baseballs where, you know, it's a thoughtfulness that is real. And people, Glenn talked about it, Alex talked about it, we're talking about it here. That maybe didn't come across to the listener as much as we saw
it's
off
weird.
The air.
Yeah, sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. Like Trenny and Wiggy both tell stories about not knowing what to expect with Jerry when,
yeah,
they started working with him. And then afterwards they became great friends and they go everywhere and say what a good guy he is. That's just, it is.
Well, that speaks to, again, the thoughtfulness and real. There is a loyalty there. So when Kirk and Jerry, when that whole thing went down, they're, you know, two guys who both left the station in really drastic, you know, similar situations, but there are a lot of differences there as well.
Yep.
But they're trying to decide what's going to happen with this morning show. And every day Jerry would remind me to go in there and get your, like, talk, ask for my contract, what I needed, who to talk to. I saw him
fight
for
time.
You two. I was
oh
in meetings
God.
Where that's all he wanted to talk about was make sure Ken,
yep,
and Chris are taken care of.
Never
he wanted you on this show, but he also wanted you, you know, financially taken care of for what you do. There is a loyalty to Jerry Callahan that I think is very rare in this business. I worked with a lot of people now in 12, 13 years in radio. He is there at the top of the list in terms of loyalty, and I don't think that exists a lot in this business specifically, that trait. To be able to carry it over through everything that happened at the station and still be as loyal to the people around him as he is, that is a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I think coming to bat for Ken and I in a way that nobody else had ever in my career, and he didn't have to. He went out of his way, and honestly, I think it's a large reason why we're even still in this building today. I think he was a massive proponent for those of us behind the scenes. And it's simple, but it's difficult. All Jerry asked for was your best. If you did that and he could trust you, he was an ally for life. And I think that's what Ken and I have learned in working with him. And in that way, it's sort of a simple role. It's hard, but it's simple, that all your guidelines are easily defined. It's show up, do your best, and be ready to go. And that's all he asked. And he's been great to me. Couldn't be better.
And if you did those things for the show, he was reciprocal in that loyalty to you. And I saw it with the three of us for sure. Me specifically. I know he had a big part of me, you know, getting an opportunity on this show and being at the station long term. I saw it with you guys. I've seen it with different, like Reamer mentioned, he was fiercely loyal to Alex and loyal when Alex has gone through a couple different issues to fight for Alex and make sure Alex is a part.
Talk to
of
Tom
the mix.
Brady personally and at the Super Bowl that week.
He and Kirk went, and first thing they did, right, was the famous shot. I was on the air. I did the morning show with you guys. Brady hung up on us.
He was getting attacked by his dog when he was talking to him. Unbelievable.
This was do a morning bleeding. Show with you, take the private jet, which as you know is very tough, and then get on the air that night and do Mud at Night when all this stuff is front and center. And the first thing they do is most people would have gone to the hotel, would have gone to get dinner. They go right to the availability for Brady and start talking to Brady because they want to see not only is everything okay with the show, but they want to make sure they know that who Alex is, and they were a big part that day in making sure Alex still had a job here because the minute Brady sort of went to bat for him, that was it. If that went a different way, then Alex is not working here at WEEI today, and they were a huge part.
And it wasn't just Tom. It was immediate. They were talking to Patriots organization, people within that building, and they were at the bat ready to defend Alex, you know, knowing full well that Jerry Callahan and Kirk lived on the ability to speak freely, knowing that slip-ups and mistakes happen and that by getting Alex fired or having him lose his job would be a slippery slope for all of us.
And I think you would all agree, too. We've worked with people who are stars in the business who just are not that way to people they perceive as underlings. Jerry was like he's a star, legitimate star
in
this
business,
market. Right?
Forget being stars.
Right.
Just there are people that host shows in this business that think that is some sort of that is a green light to beat up on the people below you.
But as far as like in print, like Bob Ryan, Dan Shaughnessy, Jerry Callahan, right? You'd put them in that conversation among the best
Greg Bedard,
hosts, radio hosts, certainly at this station and in the market ever. And he was just an average guy. You worked with him. You worked hard. Like you say, you showed him that you cared. He treated you with the utmost respect.
I mentioned it earlier in the show, but it bears repeating. He was the guy that set the dialogue for the city. Every day he began with a topic that Jerry Callahan was starting with was what the rest of the show, the city on both stations was going to be discussing. And if he was talking about it and you weren't, you reevaluated your plan that day because Jerry knew what the pulse of the city was.
Of course, those were your topics, as you told Richard Deitch.
Right. I mean, I taught Jerry everything.
Who set the dialogue? Are you now saying officially Jerry set the dialogue? Are you standing by that you set the dialogue?
History.
Well, I called into the Dennis and Callahan show, and I would let him know every day what to talk about.
Chach, you need to get to this story very soon. Let's go to Paulie and Denim at 617-779-7937, letting you guys react this morning to the WEEI career of one Jerry Callahan, which came to an end, unfortunately, on Friday. Paulie, good morning.
Hey, good to see you. Speak to you guys on Jerry. You know, it's kind of an end of an era for me. I mean, I made my bones with Dennis and Callahan long time ago, you know, and it was John who announced that I had been named caller of the year for the United States in 2005 in early January 2006. I love those guys. We had a little falling out, but I don't want to discuss that. I have fond memories of them, you know, right to the end. And I started calling again recently. But I love Jerry. I was closer to Jerry than I was John. Jerry was a generous guy when I knew of him personally. You know, he's pretty, after the Butchie time over in Jamaica Plain, I was stone's throw from where I was born. They did for John Butch from the Cape. I went over to the bar. He turned right over his part. What do you want? You know, let me get you a beer. He bought me a couple of beers. That's the kind of guy Jerry Callahan was. He's a low-key guy. You know, kind of unassuming. Did what he spoke, said what needed to be said. A lot of people were afraid to say, I'm a lot like that. Maybe that's sometimes why maybe me and Jerry clashed a little bit. But I loved him like a brother, and I still do, and I always will. And I hope to see him and John Dennis together as a team from time to time back here, filling on EEI. And it's easy. He represented the club.
You
don't want to hear it.
Well, that's you specifically. I think there's a proven track record with both those guys on the show where people did want to hear it, and they were on the show when the ratings were number one. So that's Paulie. That's your opinion, and we all have our opinions. You might think I suck. You think Curtis sucks. Whatever. Jerry wanted those guys here. So you can say that you stand with Jerry. He spoke for people. He wanted to battle with those
guys. No bigger advocate of Alex Dreamer, John Tomasi, than Jerry Callahan. He loved having those guys in because they were worthy adversaries of his political ideology, and they could go back and forth and debate at any moment when there was a dry spot in the sports conversation, you knew that it could get right to AOC, could get to Trump's latest tweet, whatever it was, and there was a built-in tension between those two and Jerry on any topic.
And as for the, he had mentioned that, you know, John and Jerry working together again, based on the information that I know, that's not going to happen. And Dino specifically,
Dino just took a shot at him.
Dino went on.
John Dennis and Jerry Callahan working together?
Well, that's what the caller said. Maybe you weren't.
I didn't hear him say that.
He said he hopes that John and Jerry get back together again, Chris.
He also said on this station.
Yeah.
He said hopefully.
I mean, I can see that happening.
In with Mutt at Night, Loserville, Mutt, Dino, and Jerry.
I am. If I'm going to be doing that show, I've been told that I will be allowed to have like a co-host for a couple hours, a group of rotating co-hosts. So maybe if I am doing the night show 6 to 10.
Get the grill out.
Get
an Ashton.
I would have Jerry in.
Yeah. This is the theme to Mutt's show. The theme to Planet Monkey. Mutt called me up and said to write another little band.
Now this made Jerry's day.
How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Mutt's show? This is the theme.
My idea.
The opening theme.
You know, Mikey didn't like this. I thought he would be honored by the parody, but apparently, just anything associated with
you. When are you going to realize this? Like this, if you not followed his career and his personality enough, talk to people, work with him.
He's funny.
He's a D bag.
Good guy to golf with.
He's.
Got a great line, but everything.
Yeah, great. But Dino went on that podcast and suggested that Jerry stabbed him in the back. That I guess he told a story on this podcast that in 2007, the station wanted to get rid of Jerry and John stepped in, and that Jerry should have done the same thing recently when Dino was dealing with his stuff. I think that John has burned that bridge to the ground. For whatever reason, he's okay with Kirk now. He says he knows what happened with Kirk and he understands it, but now Jerry's the guy he goes after. So he's social media is okay with Kirk, so Dino is okay with Kirk.
Revisionist history, Dino, on that is priceless. With Kirk, it was a wedge that you could see a mile away.
He quit. He tapped out.
And now he's sitting there, you know. Speaking of awkward moments, Jerry wasn't in that morning, but the day before Christmas Eve show a couple of years ago when Dino came in to do the midday show and we had the crossover with Kirk and Dino.
Right. Oh, Dino wanted no part of that.
Oh my
I sat
God.
Front and center for that, and it was just awkward because John sounded so robotic, and maybe that's just his personality at that point, but you know, Kirk was trying to get to certain areas, and it was just the same sort of repetitive thing. And after it was 5 minutes, you just knew
right. It
wasn't going to get contentious.
He was acting Dino.
Well, and as we played on Friday, we know that Lucy Burge, who's in producing today, was really the driving force of Dino's last stand. We played some of those clips. It got tense. And Lucy is going to read, speaking of tense, the Mutt Twitter storm praising Jerry on Friday, which was just, I don't
awful.
Know why you go.
What
you,
a decision. What was wrong with that?
Oh,
okay, we'll
so
come back
bad.
And discuss. 617-779-7937. It is Mutt, Ken, and Chris. We are talking a lot about Jerry Callahan today. It's his final show on WEEI on Friday, but we're still hitting you with the trendings every single hour because the sports news is hot and heavy with Ken Laird.
But first, we trend.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Thank you, Dale. Trending now on WEEI. And by the way, Dale Arnold, along with Joe Castiglione, on the call for the next four games. Sox and the Jays four-game series starts at Fenway tonight, 7:10. The first pitch on the Shaw Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, 6:10 pregame. I believe Mutt is back in the pregame with Will Fleming. That's unconfirmed.
I believe that's not true.
Push that.
I believe Will Fleming has done a great job as the pre- and post-game host of Red Sox baseball, and I believe that'll continue.
Bottom one, no score. Back to you.
Andrew Cashner will be in the rotation.
I'd be home doing those scores.
Tomorrow night. You like the Cashner move, Curtis?
I love it. I think he's got a great four-seamer that goes in on lefties. I heard good things about it.
I like his beard. Say that.
Good record, 9-3, 3.83 ERA over 17 starts this year. Evaldi live bullpen today. Bradford will be covering it live, pitch by pitch. Stephen Wright placed on the 10-day IL, being hit on the big toe on Saturday. And, of course, last night, 5 hours, 40 minutes of baseball at Fenway ended at 12:40 a.m. Jerry loved every pitch. Dodgers bested the Red Sox 7-4 in 12 innings. L.A. took 2 out of 3 in the World Series rematch. Baseball great Bob Gibson, also terrible news, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Novak Djokovic, the Wimbledon winner over Roger Federer. That game, a quick,
it's a match.
Lusty.
It's not a game, Ken. If you're going to do trendings going forward, like if you're going to be a sports voice on a certain morning show going forward, like the Straight Sports Update guy, you have to know it's called a match.
four-hour, 55-minute match, the longest in Wimbledon
history. So I did not start with this, but once I saw the social media reaction to it, I jumped in. Did you guys watch the match?
I was at a restaurant, but I caught the end. It was 12-12.
Sunday brunch? Where? Where'd
Coolidge
you go?
Coolidge Corner. Place called Gin's. Great place.
Did you have a couple cocktails at brunch?
Beers? Not that type of gin.
Sober brunch? Sounds terrible.
I watched the whole thing. Yeah, the final set was excellent.
Well, you lived there for a while. Is this a big deal?
Oh, Wimbledon is awesome.
Sunday?
It's a great take.
Have you been?
Kurt's
there for some time.
Did you guys see Woody Harrelson?
Licking the lips. Viral moment.
Tweet that video out.
I saw Sampras versus Federer in 1998 when nobody knew who Federer was at Wimbledon. Great moment.
Setting the dialogue.
Why are you slamming your chair today?
Really, I can't figure it out.
It's like Jerry with the text and calls.
Why don't they just stay?
More of the Jerry
show. Don't worry. Last
time
I'll be in that chair for a while.
Yes, sir.
The
champs are back.
The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
And so is Free Ticket Thursday on WEEI. Your shot at free tickets happens every Thursday at 8:30 a.m., 12:30, and 5:30 p.m. Witness every crack of the bat. Free Ticket Thursday. Each winner scores free parking at Prudential Center Garage and gets a shot at winning a $50 Red Sox Team Store gift card. Powered by Town Fair Tire. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Free Ticket Thursday on WEEI. Now back to Mutt, Ken, and Chris. Mike Mutnansky, Ken Laird, and Chris Curtis on Sports Radio WEEI.
Trini doesn't know all my old stories. If I started telling a story, Kirk could jump on me. But Kirk's not here, so John McNamara wouldn't have believed the Trini. You wouldn't be able to handle
him.
Iceland because you had to talk to him every day. You had to go through the manager's office.
Yeah.
You had to sit there, and he was nasty. He just couldn't. He wasn't nice to anybody. He was
did he read your stuff?
Nasty. No, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You could write a glowing tribute to him every day. He was a nasty man. So he's sitting there one time. He's like, "What the hell?" And every answer was, "What the F does that mean? What the F do you want?" So he looks up at the clock. It's Saturday. Sunday, I think. And he looks up at the clock, and it's like 4:45. And he says, "You got 5 effing minutes. Then I got to get out of here. I got to get to effing 5 o'clock mass."
John McNamara, ladies and gentlemen.
"You got 5 effing minutes. I got to get to effing 5 o'clock mass."
By the way, I was at an event. I just want to throw a plug in here for this because it's an amazing, amazing program. The Hockamock YMCA.
Boy, what a listener that Butchie is.
Was that the same show with Trini?
No, that was right after the story. He told that McNamara story, and then Butch went right into his Hockamaw YMCA story.
No, I meant we played the earlier John Hanna story. Did Jerry burn those two stories out in one Trini and Butch extravaganza?
Well, when Jerry was with Working People, there wasn't a vibe. He'd go back to those stories and tell stories.
Oh,
so
baby.
I could see a Trini Butchie show leading to some stories.
I am sorry, Jerry, for many things, but most of all, putting you with Trini and Butch on one show. That was
We're playing Jerry stories all morning. We have a bunch of these other clips we're still going to play.
Two. We're way behind.
So one we're definitely going to play coming up, probably off the top at 9, if we can plan that out, is climate change Jerry. We have people are now listing their favorite Jerry's. Climate change
that's
Jerry.
That's not even a story. That's just
Royal Family Jerry. Beers are cold Jerry.
Outer Space Jerry.
Space Jerry's good. The couple that I wanted to play that we don't have, and I don't know who to put the blame who, there is no skydiving story in here.
That's my fault.
He's told that story a million times about Pepperell. You know what happens in Pepperell, right? People die. They skydive. They almost died. And then him having relations on the balcony story. That doesn't exist? Or did one of you guys delete that as a favor to him? Chris?
I respect my man Jerry too much. That's a part of his private life.
Oh,
I hope to keep
God.
It private.
You son of a... You, I,
he's a good man.
Balcony Jerry.
If you would give me bonuses like Jerry had, maybe he'd still be there.
Well, he gave Ken shoes, so I could see that happening. Meanwhile, we all found out the news at different times on Friday morning. You were here, Ken.
Which
you found out right after the show.
Now, by the way, before we get into this, can we get a recap of your story? Because Jerry's final wish was Mutt story and a Curtis story coming off vacation.
So I have a 10-day vacation plan, my longest vacation in years. It starts with...
until now.
It's until the next 2 weeks, whatever it is. I don't know when I'm going to be back in the air. So this 10 days is planned out beautifully. I'm going to Drake's Island for 4 or 5 days. I'm going to Saratoga opening day on Thursday. This could not be planned out any better. The family's happy because I'm only going to miss one day up there. I'm committing to all this. It's going to be great. We got two cars. Excellent. 4th of July, we talked about this, was probably the biggest talker we had on our two shows together, was, is my wife going to get this bouncy slide house? The water, I'm not going to screw this up, it's a water bouncy house with a big slide for the kids, at least water slide. excellent. And I was against it, $300, against it because it ruined the lawn. She overruled me. She heard the show. She was 1,000% right. It was awesome. So all day Thursday,
but
had this great Thursday morning, ran in a road race, started drinking beers around lunchtime. We're jumping up and down inside this thing. It was excellent. I ran a road race, so I had to take care of that first. Friday morning, we're packing for
breakfast.
Maine. The neighbor kids are over, taking one last stroll down the water slide. Went to the ski lodge until it closed. Went home, ate pizza, and played
Pokemon.
That's an old story. So we're getting ready. We're getting Maine packed. Leaving Saturday morning. I'm feeling great about things. Mail guy comes, and I go out to greet him with the mail, and right on top of the mail is a priority letter, urgent.
Governor Baker to Mike Mutnansky.
Governor Baker, State of Mass, RMV, to one Mike Mutnansky. Open it up, and it says in there, there's two letters. One says, your license is immediately suspended, this stemming from my arrest 2 years ago in New York. I was one of the people who got caught up in this awful incident
in New
Hampshire.
Then you got in the car to try and figure out what's going on.
I did not get in the car because the dumbest thing you can do, I found out, was drive on, even if you don't know, if you drive on a suspended license, you're arrested immediately. So you do not drive on a suspended license. So immediately, first letter says suspended. From the incident August 2017 where I got my DUI in New York.
And
the second one says, starting today, you're suspended for a year, 365, until July 2nd, 2020.
And be honest, you thought you were in the clear before this last story.
Yes. Oh, I thought I just got lost in the shuffle.
Mutt thought because I did a white pages search and it wasn't on there that he was in the clear. Hand to God.
For a long time, we all thought that. Like, right? We all thought that the state just sort of screwed up and then this awful story happened.
It's not on my Wikipedia page. I'm good.
It's not there yet. And obviously, the story happens, and it turns out it was a couple hundred of people like me were out there, and the Mass RMV just sort of forgot about us and got lazy. Ends up there over 1,000. So they weren't all for alcohol-related things, but there were 1,000 suspensions waiting out there. So we had to take two cars to Maine, one car to Maine instead of two, pack everything for an entire week with two kids into one car. My wife can't see out of the back of the thing. We got to go up. Only she
Why
can
was she
drive.
Driving?
I can't. My license is suspended, Chris.
Stop at the Mexican restaurant again?
No,
ooh, margaritas
no
on the way.
Went to a brewery, but did not go to a Mexican restaurant.
Went to a brewery.
That's where you got that picture on Saturday. Well, I couldn't drive, so what? You take advantage while you can.
Just get pie-eyed for the ride. Why not?
If your wife is pregnant or your license suspended, it's a free DD for you. So stay up there. My dad has to drive me to Haymarket. I'm in RMV court all day on Tuesday, and eventually by the end of it, I walk out of there, pay a significant fine and reinstatement, and it is officially now, I can say, behind me. But for a couple hours there on Friday, there was a real potential my license could be suspended for an entire year.
And the only reason it's not is because the state screwed up.
From what I've been told, and I'm not the only one in this category. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to go, and they're going to go in and say they're going to backdate it to a certain date. Once you do that, legally, they can't now suspend me again. So I lucked, honestly, Ken, I lucked out big time. That's how my vacation started. That was Friday, July 5th. Friday, July 12th, once I had the license back, I don't go to Saratoga because I'm a good family guy, good dad. I say, you know what? I put enough stress on my family. I'm not going to Saratoga. First time in 13 years I missed opening day. Stayed in Maine.
What a man.
And then Friday morning, mini golfing with my kids in Wells Beach, Maine. Got the call from Joe Zarbano saying, hey, do you have a couple of minutes? Mark Hannon's in the office with me. And that's the first and only I had heard of what was going to happen with Jerry's contract. And then from there, it's been, crazy, 90 whatever it is, hours.
And
so since
Curtis
then. That was
from
my vacation.
Curtis got the news from the most pristine source that you could possibly get.
Matt Walsh. No, I woke up Friday morning.
You know, he called first, though, Ken.
Who did I call first?
Me.
Oh, that's right. Well, because I knew Ken was in meetings. I couldn't call him. Anyway,
that's not noteworthy. That is noteworthy.
I tried to call Kenny, wouldn't answer.
That's true.
The answer I got.
So I wake up Friday morning, 6:30 Hawaii time.
Aloha.
So, aloha, good morning. My phone turns on, and the first text that pops through on my iPhone, John Tomasi. And I'm like, what does he want? So I open it up. Hey, Chris, heard the news. Really crappy about what went on at the station. Hope they value what they have in you and Ken. So I have no clue. This could mean a million things. So I break open my laptop, Google WEEI.
Alexa, play WEEI.
Felt like that was vague enough. If there was some massive story about the station being sold, who knows? Nothing pops up. So then I check Twitter, and for the first time in John Tomasi's historic life in Boston, he got a big story right. He nailed the Jerry Callahan to retirement, or not retirement, to his exodus from WEEI. So I got all of the other texts flowed in. I got on the phone with Mutt, tried to figure out what was going on. And that entire day was as surreal as it gets. Every conversation was more bizarre than the one before it. I finally talked to Jerry later on, a couple hours after that. We spoke for about 10 minutes on the phone. And, you know, I told him I loved him. And we talked about the show and how things went. And, you know,
according to Jerry, you were rattled in the conversation you had with him. He told me this Friday night. Curtis was in a bad shape.
I was as rattled as I've ever been. I was.
Well, who wasn't? You weren't rattled?
I was, like, rattled into silence. I kind of was just like...
Ken is so freaking pragmatic.
I thought we had a good conversation on Friday. I talked to you before I talked to Chris. You were good on the phone. You had some good thoughts. You don't even remember that.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, I was fine in that conversation. But being around Jerry, like, I was here when he got the news, or basically right afterwards. And then that night we went out to Encore. So I'm not very comforting in times of, like, stress. Like, Wiggy was there, and he's, like, affable and making jokes. He said to me afterwards, I've been around, you play pro football, you've been around enough awkward situations, you know how to handle it. I tightened up.
I still played the I played pro football. Yeah, in that case,
but
he still played that
card? I think that's true. I could see it come out. Like,
wild card experience.
It was basically me next to Tangway and Casey Smith at the Border Cafe. I'm like,
say anything!
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I was extremely rattled to the point that I hung up the phone, thanked Jerry, I don't know how many times, it was embarrassing. And I walk around in where we were staying, and I see my wife, and I just start bawling, hysterically crying. Or I don't know if it was hysterical.
But you didn't
cry
on the phone with Jerry.
No, I was close.
I got choked up when I basically apologized to him, like taking the blame for all this. Like, and I had to hold back the tears. I sounded like Keith on the phone.
Well, I did the same thing. I apologized.
I choked up
to him.
talking to him.
Like, I wish we could have done more. I wish whatever. Ratings could have been better. Something, a trick we could have pulled out. I think we all believe it's not ratings related, and it was... nothing we could have done.
And there's nothing.
Jerry,
at least you're around just your family. You're around your wonderful wife. Like, I'm in Maine with my mom's four brothers and sisters who paid for this house for us, my cousins, his wife, and a million different kids. And I start the week by saying, yeah, my car's not here because my license probably suspended for a year. I end the week with, on Friday afternoon, they're all going to the beach. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sit here back at the house. I just lost the morning show. So I'm going to – it was the most awkward –
And you didn't get to go to Saratoga, burying the lead.
Which is the big, big story. Although, it probably would have been a bad... If I gotten that call up in Saratoga, I would have gone on tilt.
But
I would have gone.
The conversation...
That's the most important thing.
I would still be there
saved
right
the
now.
50 bucks.
I'd still be there.
The conversation with Jerry, though, was so embarrassing for me, because what do you say? At the end, I think at one point I said, if I can do something for you, and then I'm like, if I can do something for Jerry Callahan? I mean, the guy did everything for me. He's the reason I'm in this business, listening to him growing up. Is why I love sports talk radio. Listening to him, the way he broke down the big events. I remember vividly 9/11, driving to school every day, listening to John Dennis and Jerry Callahan break the news down in a way that was so unique. It was so good. It had information first, but it had an opinion. It had the edge that we all felt during that horrible time. And to have all of that, and then to finally work with him, to sit next to him through all this stuff, it's just... What do you say?
You know, get his coffee every day.
Every day was a privilege to get Jerry Callahan his coffee.
Well, I've been through in radio firings before, and they're all sort of handled similarly. I know people were saying like he was done dirty, whatever. Like, I think Jerry was for this. I mean,
I think he was done. Like, Friday afternoon in the summer.
I guess sometimes
there's
a farewell show, but he sort of was offered that and didn't want to do it. Like when I got the news, Jerry came in and said, "I need a box." I was literally thinking of the scene from Goodfellas where there's at some point where they're like, when you get whacked, your friends come with smiles or whatever. You know, you don't know what's coming. It was just that awkward sort of moment. It's like, you know, he's here among people he likes, but they're delivering the news that he's out. And he took it fine. He was just like, okay, I get my stuff. Get out of here.
Well, that's the other part of this. Like, I think I tweeted this out, and we'll let Lucy handle the tweets coming up. But the show
was the worst reaction.
It was starting with Kirk and Jerry, but this show was funded to every day because the attitude Jerry took and the attitude that you guys took. And it's not annoying. It's not frustrating. It's much more than that. That the show was given 9 months, and they decided they weren't going to renew Jerry, and they're going to restart with a show that's established, at AAF, our sister station, Greg Hill and Danielle, and a cast of thousands will come over and take over July 29th. And I'm biased, but Jerry should still be here, and we should still be doing the show. We should be busting my balls about my license all day today. And Curtis, going to Captain Andy, whatever his name is.
Catamaran was a great thing.
It was Catamaran in Hawaii.
So, but this, to bring this full circle, this driver in New Hampshire who horribly killed those seven people is the reason behind you dropping thousands of dollars in a Massachusetts RMV office on Tuesday.
Yes, without that happening, staying in court all day and working with very good lawyers.
Did it cross your mind at all to call the Patriots owner, who graciously donated $100,000 to the victims of that, and say, "Hey, do you have a couple grand for me? I was nice to you. I think
Robert Kraft mentioned Mudd in that speech he gave.
He did.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
He was addressing the jarhead.
I think it's better served given to the jarhead group than it is, you know, served given to
pretty me. Cool moment there from Kraft.
It was all, I mean, because it's we've been talking about it for weeks now, and he just shows up unannounced. Kraft just shows up and just hands a check right away, right?
100K.
And that group and that family is dealing with a lot right now, and it was a pretty cool moment from Bob Kraft over the weekend, and a week that was not great for a lot of people. Not a lot of highlights for me, Chris. This was one of the highlights. That, and of course, would you call him Jovac? No, would you call him before?
I think I said earlier. I said butt mutt when I wanted to say mutt bunt.
Mile can noy.
Yeah, those were two highlights already this
morning. You probably did. So what more do we want to play from Jerry coming up? 617-779-7937. I see a lot of phone calls, including one of Jerry's favorites. We have the listener.
Well, Lucy was going to read your texts from Friday.
Oh, we want to do that too.
The tweets from Friday.
Tweets, yes.
Which I will stand by and defend. These were thoughtful, well thought out.
What a horrible job.
Copy and pasted from a Word file to make sure I did not spell them wrong.
You did a Word file and then you just copied and pasted.
I didn't want to get them wrong.
You still spelled something wrong.
No, I didn't spell. I used the wrong word, Lucy. That's different.
Honestly.
Yes, I used the wrong word, but I still spelled honesty right.
He has a tough time with that word.
I did spell check, and I bled on social media, and you guys are going to mock me for it. We'll do that and get to your calls. Mutt, Curtis, and Ken, WEEI.
Now back to Mutt, Ken, and Chris on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, I'm so glad I got my revenge. I got my revenge. You ruined my wife's birthday. I ruined yours.
How did he ruin your
My wife's birthday is more important.
You
got your wife an Alexa, whatever you got her, a Google
I
Echo.
Just asked.
It was a getaway weekend, first and forever.
It was a Lexus.
He probably was a Lexus.
I just wanted to know how you could get an Alexa, or where you could get an Alexa, not on Amazon.
An Echo. I remember.
And this idiot blurts it out on the air. I asked off the air. He thought it was so funny.
That you asked, where do I buy an Alexa?
Yeah, where do you buy an Alexa?
On Amazon.
What's wrong with that? I said, I don't want to do it on Amazon, dummy.
And I said, I'll order it for you. You said, no, I'll just go to a store. There's got to be a store that sells it.
Can you buy it at Target or Walmart or whatever?
Kind of a douche move, Mutt.
But you call it an Alexa, which is my favorite part.
What's wrong with it? It's an Echo.
No, Alexa is the Siri talking
computer.
When
you talk
computer.
To her, you call her Alexa.
You do, yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
her voice.
I would call
but
her Alexa.
The device is called an Echo or an Echo Dot.
Well, that's just so dumb.
It was dumb. It was just funny. It was funny that Jerry kept calling in an Alexa on the air. It made me laugh.
Jerry does not tolerate being corrected or being informed on a topic by Mike Mutnansky.
Anybody. God, the other thing, they can't wait till they take these texts, although they might not now, based on the new show coming in, which is very text-heavy, as I'm told. I thought the text was coming out. Your rule was, you made a new rule right before the 4th of July break, text line coming out, but Jerry would hate it when somebody corrected him there about a random sports stat from 1987. He would drive him crazy and make sure he corrected it like the second he could on the air. Oh. Make sure everyone knew he didn't get it wrong. He just wanted to correct the situation.
If you ever had any questions about where I stand in the power hierarchy of WEEI and Intercom after I made the proclamation about removing the text line, it's still here, and I was the 72nd person to find out about the demise of Jerry Callahan.
Tomasi knew before you. Congratulations.
Way to go.
Mark James, by the way, openly flaunting that by responding to texters last week after ripping the hell out of you while you're on vacation, by the way, just crushing Curtis.
Oh, what did he say?
We'll get to that another day. That's best served for another day.
Yeah.
But we're going to read your text. Is Lucy ready for the live reading?
There were my texts. There were my tweets.
Tweets.
And I called them expletive tweets when I did them. These things never, ever come across well. And you guys had just as lame tweets as I did. Yours last night was the worst of all, if we really want to rank the worst tweets involving Jerry Callahan, when you said, I'm hoping not to go all Rich Keefe cutting up this sound right now. Give me a break. You haven't come close to crying today. You're not going to cry today.
It's not a funeral.
It's a goodbye to a guy who's not doing a show on the station anymore, who should be, and is going to go on and do more in his career. Thank you, John. We've tried to play that every time you want you to. And tries to get too emotional here. So I sat down.
Stream of consciousness.
Drake's Island, Maine.
This
table.
This became all about Mutt.
Bottle of bourbon.
Absolutely. And it's,
of course it did. It's become that way for all of us. Everyone's doing it. They're making it about themselves.
That's why I was limited. I picked my spots. This comes off.
So you're going to cry. It's not about you? When you said, I'm trying not to get emotional. Looking for retweets.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
We want some likes. You want some favorites, some plus ones?
I was pointing out we had great sound coming up for the next morning.
And bragging how emotionally you got.
It was a good tease. It was a horizontal tease. It was very well done by Ken. And the whole point, the purpose of Twitter is to encapsulate what you're trying to say in a concise manner.
It's
140, 280 characters.
It's not.
You did this in like seven, it was like six pages.
Mutt threaded the hell out of this.
Okay, Lucy Burge, you're a social media consultant here on the formerly Mutt and Callahan show. You go ahead. You can read these. You tell me where I went wrong. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Found out the news about Jerry Callahan. This also says his AM.
His AM. Great start.
I loved working with Jerry. That's error number one. His fearlessness. His allergic / honest reaction to boring radio. His honesty. His ability to get the most from co-hosts and guests. His efforts for the Jimmy Fund. All of it.
I should have quit there. Nice tweet.
Any issues there?
Excellent.
Curtis.
Well done.
Misspelling,
since you're the ombudsman
bad.
Of Twitter, Mr. Twitter, Chris Curtis.
When we get
okay,
to,
fine.
You know, Carter's Little League game and the sixth one of this, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
He's going to baseball camp in Tewksbury today with equipment he got from
and
Uncle Jerry.
And no AC at home. Uh-oh.
actually, we do have no AC at home. Could use some help on that front, HVAC people. Go ahead.
But we continue. Tweet 2 of 7. I'm beyond frustrated the show is over, and I can't ever express here in tweets what
bleep
he meant.
Tweets.
Bleep tweets.
Ardo Mutt.
What he meant, work in blue here, Mutt. What he meant bleeped. To WEEI, Boston, myself,
must show
and so
how
many
upset
others.
I am that I'm off the morning and back two nights.
Show proper appreciation.
Ken Laird,
to
must
Jerry
say,
Callahan.
I might cry tomorrow to seem emotional. You're worse than me. We'll read your tweet next. Go ahead.
It's about you. Don't pivot.
Go, keep going.
That's a great thing.
3 of 7.
Yeah.
Busting balls with Jerry, yep, balls. Curtis, Ken, and Kirk was the best time I've had in radio.
Yep.
And honesty, the most fun I've had in my life.
I stand by that.
That
but
was
on
a
the
good
air,
tweet.
The off the air, all of it. Some of my favorite moments in my life. I'm 39 years old. Speaks to my life. But the five of you, four of you idiots, it was great. Great, great, great.
Okay,
that was the best part of this 16-page Twitter
Seven
thread.
Tweets. Keep going.
Next tweet went off the cliff.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. And boy, did Jerry hate and those guys hate my terrible stories. The disgust on his face after the Vegas story, I think, was all time. You could hear it in his voice on the air.
One retweet.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, we're going to do by retweets? We're going to do that now? Okay.
How many followers?
Great. Plus one. This is everything.
Making Jerry laugh is the best.
Yep.
He can't fake laugh, so you know you're an idiot or you actually said something funny when he laughed on the show.
We need some GPS to get this Twitter thread back on track.
That's 6. Read the 7th one. Whatever.
And as the king of fake laughs, I should know.
Must be self-deprecating. Yes.
Good job in by me. Poking fun
just,
at
I'm
yourself.
Really good at this. You guys
is
are
an
jealous
endearing
because
quality?
Two yours weren't as good.
Here's my
had
favorite
a lot
tweet
of likes, though.
In the thread. Just realized I typed and honesty instead of and honestly in a previous tweet.
Whoops.
I'm an idiot.
Hammered.
To scroll back 3 pages to find that previous tweet. Finally, I could keep doing this all day.
Yep.
And if you follow me, you know how great Jerry is.
What does that mean?
And Twitter sucks. But Jerry is going to be fine and kick ass elsewhere.
Yeah.
Just not on EEI, which sucks.
So you rip the platform in which you're using to praise.
Follow and subscribe.
That's the best way to get the message out. Still, unfortunately, it is. Okay, I'm sorry. You don't. You love Twitter. I get it.
I don't love Twitter. I just
Twitter
don't
guy.
Love that. That thread was so dumb. You had a very good tweet
so
to
real.
Start. You had
so
that
real.
Nice tweet that could have been a standalone
this
separate
is worse.
Tweet.
At the station, listening to Jerry Callahan sound to play for tomorrow's laughing, so I don't break down like Keith. The full 6-minute Jerry Craigslist Eric Church ticket scam score will be played in full.
And it will. Great tweet. Now, Jerry retweeted one of your tweets and one of Mikey's tweets. So
now, a couple
even.
Of mine.
So he just totally
retweeted a couple.
Switzerland.
Yeah, whatever.
Very unmoved.
Let's get to one of Jerry's favorites, Tim in Canton, who joins us here. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gents.
Ah, crap.
Oh, no, it's,
hold
it's
on,
the
hold
line
on,
again.
Tim, it's the line. It's
Tim,
not,
you got a call back.
Tim's got a call back. I'm going to make the.
That's still an issue?
It's like every
let's find
2 months
out.
We get the squeaky voice.
Jim in New Hampshire. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Before I get to my off-air story about Jerry, I just wanted to thank him for his avid support and helping set the record straight for a very close friend of mine, Jerry Amaralt. But on the story of Jerry off the air, I got the fortunate to meet Jerry at a restaurant where I work. I'm a bartender, and Jerry and his family happened to come in. they had over an hour wait for a dinner table, so I ended up finding
you must not have been happy. An hour wait for Jerry must feel like 10 days, but go ahead.
Yeah, and he was going to wait, but I luckily enough found him a spot in the bar. I got him a table. I was able to take care of him, his wife, and his children, and I didn't want to be the starstruck guy and bother him during his vacation, so I took care of him, had a nice time. Jerry's a great, great family man. Whether you like Jerry's, you know, political thoughts or anything else, and what he did on the air was amazing, and just the fact that Jerry's a really, really good guy, he's a man's man, and I'd like to thank him for that.
Can I just jump in with one thing that I saw on social media, including with the media critic at the Globe, who said it's tough to reconcile the political Jerry away from who he is as a host? Are you really that big of a child that you can't reconcile
well, actually,
the fact
yes,
that,
we're finding out there are people like that,
like,
Chris.
Who
yes.
Jerry Callahan likes Donald Trump. He wants lower taxes. Okay. He's also a really entertaining, informative, and compelling talk show host. What the hell does one have to do with the other? Why are we really that immature as adults that we can't tolerate a radio host who supports the other candidate and has a different political ideology than you do? I mean, I hate when I see people preface praise for Jerry Callahan by saying, despite his politics or whatever. Go away. If you have to say that, don't even tweet at all. Like, Jerry's a great guy, on air, off the air, great dad, great husband, great talk show host. He's been awesome to me and to countless other people in this
whoa,
market.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He voted for Trump.
Era.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He voted for Trump, Chris.
I mean,
how can he be all those things?
It's such an idiotic thing to preface any praise for anybody by saying, despite his politics. Who cares?
But you admit
about
it's not
politics?
Rare, though. I mean, you're saying it like you're doing
just,
this finger wagging.
It aggravated me this weekend to see people do that in the media that said things about Jerry. Jerry's a great guy. He's been great to a lot of people. John Tomasi couldn't be further to the left of Jerry Callahan. And you asked John. John was great, wrote some great things about Jerry, said he was the best columnist ever. And John and Jerry worked well together because they disagree. Like, I don't understand why you need to preface anything with that.
Worse was this minute from Bob Halloran. I've never watched Bob Halloran, but he had some, he's a local sports guy, right?
Channel 5, yeah. He did sports radio, I believe, with you at 890, correct, Bob Halloran?
Well, it was highly rated. I think two people listened to the Salk and Halloran show, heard middays for about a week on 890.
So Bob is a TV prompter reader who is a failed sports radio guy, but go ahead.
So had some faux praise, and then at the end said, basically, if you look at Jerry's ratings, he has neither been informative nor entertaining for the last several years, and WEI sent him off into the sunset. Like, first of all, totally classless. Second of all, totally misinformed. Ratings have been very good. Jerry has been at the top of his game, as many have said, informative and entertaining. So just totally clueless from this guy. Honestly, I've been here 3 years since I've come back. Never heard a word about Bob Halloran in my
well,
life.
Well, and Curtis said, "Is this it's a tolerance thing right now?" And people, it's gone from
it's not a tolerance thing.
Yes,
it's being an
yes,
adult
it
or being a child.
Well,
whether
yes,
you can separate
and children
the two.
And adults have a tolerance for difference of opinions. A 3-year-old, like my 3-year-old, doesn't. You say he wants something, you say no, and he throws a temper tantrum. This is essentially what these people are doing. And now it's gone to another extreme to tie it back to Jerry. Is that people are willing to take that intolerance towards your own opinion on whatever it is, and then go to try to hurt you and not just disagree with you on a topic, but hurt you, whether it be financially, with clients of a radio station, make things up. This is that next level of it. So I understand what you're saying. I think I've just become, not that I'm immune to it, I just come to expect it now. I come to expect it now in 2019, unfortunately. Meanwhile, we mentioned there in Ken Laird's tweet, the 6-minute Craigslist Eric Church story. We'll play that in its entirety in this hour, and we'll get to your call. 617-779-7937. It is Mutt, Ken, and Curtis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.